blessings and grow in Dhamma, all of you. Today being the last day of this retreat together, are you starting to feel tired or bored of listening to the Dhamma? Are you feeling full of Dhamma yet? So we see that Venerable Ajahn Anand isn't here. He's in the city of Rayong for an event because he's the advisor to the regional ecclesiastical head, and so he has to go. And so he invited me to come talk Dhamma with you. And the last occasion when I came to talk Dhamma with you all, I gave the wrong name for the Arahant monk. The monk that I was referring to is actually called Venerable Bahiya, but I gave the name Garu Dai, who is another Arahant. But the Venerable Bahiya, he was the declared foremost in quickly attaining, or the foremost in quick knowledge. So we see that conditioned formations are impermanent, not being able to remember something. And when we have this either remembering or not remembering, we observe it. So sometimes we can recall what happened yesterday, but we can't recall everything. There's no need to talk about our previous lives or a long time ago, but even just what happened yesterday, some of it one can remember and some one can't remember. Like when you woke up or got out of the car, then what did you do after that? Sometimes we don't remember. Or 1 year ago, it's even harder to remember that. And we go back to the time when we were a child going to school, and we can't remember some of what happened. Some people with a good memory, they can recall many things, but those who don't have a good memory, they can't remember. Like, what did we study when we were a child? We can't remember. So we see that memory is impermanent. Sanya, perception, memory is impermanent. It's not lasting. So we make effort to have mindfulness, but sometimes we don't remember. And so this is the quality of sanya. Our brain is not able to recall certain things. So it's not the same as a computer. Like a computer can have many millions or billions of bytes of storage, or megabytes, gigabytes, and so on. But the brain, it's maybe not so much. So therefore, if we don't remember something, we see that truly it's impermanent, that truly not lasting. There's no need to worry about it, but establish mindfulness in front of you. Practice right here, right now, with Bhutto, Bhutto. And keep practicing like this, keep training the mind like this. There's no need to doubt about what happened in the past, no need to worry about the future. But establish the mind well in the present as best as you can. And you keep practicing and you do your best with it. And you try to make your effort and perseverance with regard to mindfulness to make it useful. Not just messing around or playing around, but to really sincerely set your heart on the practice to cultivate these qualities. You get to practice with Venerable Ajahn Anand for this 9 or 10 day period, and you set your hearts on it. You don't send your mind outside. And in this way, you can have knowledge and understanding. The fruits of Dhamma practice arise. And so we strive to practice continuously and evenly. And you see that, well, in this year or this retreat, you have got just this much. But then you do it again. Next year, there's another retreat. And so you keep applying yourself. And then one day the mind gathers together, and then you see the fruits of your efforts. You see the fruit of all the merit you've made. So we can look at the example of Venerable Bahia, the Venerable Bahia speaking about him last time, that he was the foremost in quick knowledge, or quick attainment. So he's in the group of foremost disciples who are excelled or foremost in various qualities. So the quality that Venerable Bahia excelled in was quick knowledge, quick attainment. So hearing the Buddha, he was able to give rise to knowledge very quickly. And so we see that this is based on previous karmic causes that were made. So we see that, well, why was he able to know the fastest out of all the disciples? What karma did he do? And so there's the story of Venerable Bahia's past, and it's an interesting story. So you might be bored of listening to Dhamma, so I'll tell you this story this morning. So we take a look at the text. The story is about the Buddha and his disciples from the commentary, to the main text. And we have the Jataka tales, and we have the story of Venerable Bahia. So it was during the time of the Buddha Padamuttara. It was many eons ago, a long time ago. It's not during our fortunate eon, where we have various Buddhas like Buddha Kakusandasa, Buddha Kassapa. We have our Buddha Gautama. And then there's one more Buddha to come in this fortunate eon. So there are five total. And the next one yet to come is Venerable Maitreya. But the story about Venerable, in the time of Buddha Padamuttara with Venerable Bahia, that was many eons ago. And during that lifetime, Venerable Bahia was a child of a wealthy family. And when his father died, he received the inheritance from his father. And it was during the time that Buddha's dispensation, where the Buddha Padamuttara was praising his disciple who was foremost in quick knowledge. And Venerable Bahia had a lot of admiration for that monk. The Buddha was able to speak just one teaching, and that monk understood quickly. And so Venerable Bahia, he really liked that monk, wanted to be like that, wanted to be foremost in quick knowledge. So we see that these kind of wishes or wanting, we need to have this wanting or aspiration first. It's not that it's all defilement. It's not like that. Just like all Buddhas, they need to want to become a Buddha first. And like the great disciples, like Venerable Bahia, they need to wish for or want to become a foremost disciple first. And then over the course of a great many lifetimes, they don't throw away that aspiration, but they make effort to the fullest of their ability. It's just like all of you sitting here. You have this wanting or aspiration to know the Dhamma, to see the Dhamma, or you wish or aspire to see the end of the defilements, like the great masters who've come before us, just like in the Buddha's time. And so based on that, you have effort and perseverance. Whatever obstacles arise, you don't give up. You don't discard your aspiration, but you persevere to have mindfulness, to have effort, to contemplate, to give rise to wisdom in order to overcome, pass through these obstacles. And we can just look at the example of this when you come on retreat. So you have this effort to come on retreat. So if you're in Malaysia or in Singapore, you want to come pay respects to Venerable Ajahn Anand, want to come on retreat here, want to gather and do merit. But then if you think to yourself, oh, I'm very busy, I have to do this or that, it's not convenient, I feel tired, and then you don't leave where you are, and that means the intent is not sufficient to reach the monastery. So this is a comparison, and our Dhamma practice is the same way. And we see that some people really strive a lot, strive a great deal. I've had many friends I've seen in the practice. They come to practice and they strive a great deal, like walking meditation all throughout the night or sitting all throughout the night. But after one or two days of that, they don't see the results. And so we can't do it that way. We need to be more like the great masters or the Buddha. They do it continuously, they do it ongoingly. They don't give up, they don't throw it away. It's just like digging a well. We need to have effort and perseverance. We need to keep at it and not stop. So sometimes we keep going, we don't see water. Like we dig 2 meters down, we don't see water. We just want to give up. We feel tired, we feel weary. But we don't throw away our efforts, we keep going. And at 3 meters, we don't see water, and we want to give up. But we need to seek a way to give rise to effort, to give rise to perseverance, to give rise to the ability to keep going. So we need to be able to do that. And we dig down 5 meters deep, and we still don't see water, and we feel disheartened or want to give up. So you can ask yourself, would you give up at that point? When you reach 5 meters down, would you give up? But you see that you've gone that far already, so don't throw away your efforts, because there's water there for sure. There's definitely water down there. So if you just keep going, if you just don't give up, you'll reach it for sure. So Venerable Ajahn Anand teaches this often. And you keep digging, and maybe at 10 meters you reach the water. And it's good, clean water that you can use for various purposes. So the Dhamma of the Buddha, it's the same. So we keep on having effort, we persevere, we don't give up, and we'll reach the goal for sure. The goal is there for sure. If we don't see it yet, it just means that our efforts have not yet been sufficient. The five powers are still weak. And so we have effort, we persevere. This is important. And sometimes I would see various friends in the practice, they'd have a good meditation, and they would talk about it, saying, oh, I had a good meditation, I was feeling very still, very peaceful, could sit all throughout the night. But after, or not that many days go by, and they start to feel weary, bored of it, and they just give up, they stop doing it, and so they don't get the results. So the Dhamma of the Buddha, we keep at it, we keep practicing. Just like Venerable Bahia, he saw this monk be praised as the foremost in quick attainment, and he had the aspiration, the wish to be like that, to attain the quickest. And so during the time of the Buddha Paramuttara, he invited the Buddha and the Sangha to receive offerings at his home for 7 days. And on the 7th day, according to the text, he went to seek out the Buddha and paid respects and said, I've been making offerings for these 7 days. By all the merits of this, I want just one thing, which is to be the disciple foremost in quick knowledge, quick attainment. So he said, I want to be that disciple who's foremost in quick knowledge. So he established that aspiration, and the Buddha Padamuttara rejoiced with this aspiration. And for the rest of that lifetime, Venerable Bhahiya cared for the Buddha, the Sangha. In the end, the Buddha Padamuttara passed away, Venerable Bhahiya passed away, and Venerable Bhahiya was reborn in heaven, according to the text. And he would alternate between heaven, the heavenly world, and the Brahma world. He would cycle between those, and he never went to hell. And that's the benefit of making parami with the Buddha. And we may believe this, we may not believe this, but just listen first. This is something in the text. And so a Buddha interval passed, the time between Buddha dispensations passed, and it came to the time of Buddha Kassapa, where Venerable Bhahiya was reborn in that dispensation. It was during the dispensation of Buddha Kassapa, but he did not meet Buddha Kassapa because it was after the Parinibbana of Buddha Kassapa. But the Buddhist dispensation was still active, was still there. But he saw that at that time, the Buddhist dispensation was degrading. It was becoming less well-established or degrading. And he saw that the people practicing, they were lacking restraint, lacking sincerity, and he felt sad and dispassion towards this. He thought, well, why are these people not sincere? Why are they not applying themselves? So he felt sad and weary, dispassionate. So at that time, he had six friends, and none of them were ordained yet. But he took these six friends to go bow at the chedi of the Buddha Kassapa. And next to that chedi, there was a mountain. So he led all of his friends to that mountain, and they climbed up the mountain. And this mountain was very hard to climb up. It had a lot of bamboo. There was a bamboo ladder that they used to go up the mountain. And they reached the peak of the mountain, and once they reached the peak, they destroyed the bamboo ladder so that it was impossible to get down. There's no way down. And they were firmly intent and sincere to practice. So all seven of them at the top of that mountain. And the first member of that group, very sincere in their practice, firm in their effort, realized arahantship according to the text. And according to the text, he gained the four jhanas, the five samapatti, the psychic powers, and he was able to fly through the air. So we hear this and we can contemplate it. So this individual, he would float or fly to go get food on alms round, and then he offered that the food from alms round to his five friends. But the five friends didn't accept that food because they had this firm intent to go up the mountain to reach the peak. And then if they didn't yet attain to the Dhamma, they wouldn't eat. So they had their hearts set on not eating. And the arahant who could fly to get food, he couldn't change their minds and he couldn't force them. So on the second day, the second member of the group realized anagami, or non-returner, and he also had jhana and psychic powers, and he was able to fly as well. So he could get food, but again, the five remaining friends wouldn't eat the food got by the other friends. And the other five strived and practiced, but they did not succeed in that lifetime. So all five of them died practicing, and they didn't eat or drink anything, so they all died without attaining to anything in that lifetime. So we here we see that this important point, that whether it's the time of Buddha Kassapa or the time of Buddha Padmasambhava, Venerable Bahia had his mind set on doing goodness of various types of merit. In the time of Buddha Padmasambhava, the merit he made had the fruit that he alternated between the heavenly world and the Brahma world, and he didn't go to the lower world. And if Venerable Bahia didn't have the determination to realize being the disciple foremost in quick attainment during the time of Buddha Kassapa, he could have attained, perhaps, he could have seen the Dhamma, but his mind didn't attain to the Dhamma because he was seeking after a special status or special quality, being the quickest attaining disciple. And so therefore he kept on being born and dying, because it hadn't yet reached the time for him to attain to the Dhamma. But his friends didn't have that aspiration or determination, and so they could realize the Dhamma before him, could realize arahantship. But it was just Venerable Bahia. Venerable Bahia had that aspiration to be the foremost in quick knowledge. And so it comes to the time of our Buddha, Buddha Gautama. So all those five friends died and were reborn in the time of our Buddha, this current dispensation. And there was another story with Venerable Bahia after the Parinibbana of Buddha Kassapa that caused Venerable Bahia to have the kama to not have a robe. Because during the interval between Buddhas, there was no fully self-awakened Buddha, but there was a independent Buddha, or Pacheka Buddha. And so Venerable Bahia saw that Pacheka Buddha and saw his cloth and thought it was quite a beautiful robe that the Pacheka Buddha had, and he wanted that robe. And so he shot an arrow at the Pacheka Buddha, and the Pacheka Buddha died, and then Venerable Bahia took his robe. So we can make this observation that since being born in the time of Buddha Padmasambhava, Venerable Bahia had the faith to do merit, to do a lot of goodness with the Buddha, then he alternated between the heaven realms and the Brahma worlds. And it was just this bit of greed that arose in his mind during the Buddha interval that led him to kill the Pacheka Buddha to get his cloth. And it was just from this quality of desire or liking, just this quality of greed is what caused this. So we really see the importance of having mindfulness, that all of you have been born in a time where you can meet with a great master, and all of you have well-established virtue. You're all Dhamma practitioners. And so this is how it is in this life. But in the future, we're not sure how it'll be. It might not be like this. We might not be able to observe our own delusion. And so we can fall into bad behaviors, bad actions like killing. And so it's important to have effort, to have strength, to strive and apply ourselves, because in the present we have this opportunity to know and see the Dhamma. So the faster you can see it, the better it is. So don't waste your time, but keep going, keep practicing. Because we see even Venerable Bahia got deluded to that extent. He was born and practiced in the time of Buddha Kassapa, but then he got deluded to the point of killing a Pacheka Buddha. And in the end, he went to hell. I don't know how long, but then eventually he was born in the time of our Buddha and got the name Bahia. And these five friends from the past were also born in the time of our Buddha, Buddha Gautama. And so the first friend, we don't know his name, but he met with the Gautama Buddha and proclaimed his faith in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha for his whole life, but didn't realize any qualities beyond that. The second friend was named Kumara Kassapa, and he was also a foremost disciple who was foremost in being a beautiful Dhamma speaker, foremost in speaking the Dhamma beautifully. So that was the second friend, Kumara Kassapa. Then the third friend, Dhamma Malaputta, he was foremost in assigning dwellings. He was also an arahant. So we see that these various great monks, it's not that they're the best in every single quality, but they have one particular quality that they're the most excellent in. It's like best in speaking Dhamma beautifully, or best in giving out or assigning dwellings. For instance, if lay people come to the monastery, they need a place to rest. Venerable Dhamma Malaputta would find the most suitable place, the most convenient place for them to rest well, practice well. Or if great teachers, great monks visit, then he would find the most suitable place for them to stay and show them to their dwelling, care for the dwellings. And then the fourth friend was not a foremost disciple. And then the fifth is Venerable Bahia. So he was reborn as a son of a wealthy family, and he became a seafaring merchant, selling wares from the ships throughout the land of Suvarnabhumi, or Suvarnabhumi. And where is that? Well, it's a region of Asia. So we have places like Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, Laos, Vietnam, perhaps the Philippines, I'm not sure. So this is all Suvarnabhumi, or Suvarnabhumi, saying it in the Thai style. And so as a seafaring merchant, Venerable Bahia would sell his wares, but then there came to be a boat wreck, a shipwreck, and then he clung on to a piece of wood and was washed up on the shore somewhere in Suvarnabhumi. So he was able to survive, reach the shore. But when he reached the shore, all his clothing was gone. He had no possessions. His wealth was gone. He had no clothing. And he felt too shy to go ask for clothing. So he went to a tree and took some bark, and he turn that bark into his clothing, because he had no money with him, so he couldn't buy any clothing. But when he was wearing the bark, the villagers would give him food and drink and helped care for him. So we can observe this well in society, that any time someone does something unusual, then people can end up liking that or thinking it's something good and special. Like Venerable Bahia wearing bark for clothing. He didn't have any money or any wealth to buy clothing, so he wore bark, wore tree bark. But then the villagers became quite interested in this and thought it was quite special and thought he was an arahant, or fully awakened. And it's the same then as it is now. So nowadays, there's a lot of Dhamma online. Maybe people think that certain individuals are fully awakened or arahants, but their teachings don't line up with the great masters. Their teachings don't line up with the teachings of the Buddha. And so many people these days get deluded by that or lost in it. So we see that in the Buddha's time in the past, and now it's the same. And so Venerable Bahia, he did this and deceived the villagers. So he didn't have, or he hadn't realized awakening, but many of these people thought he was awakened, and he gained a great many disciples. But then his friend from the time of Buddha, Padamuttara, who was an Anagami, this Anagami friend had been reborn in the highest Brahma realm, and that Brahma, that Anagami Brahma, was thinking, how are my friends doing now? Where are they now? So that Brahma took a look and saw that Venerable Bahiya was practicing incorrectly. So this Brahma had been quite diligent and hardworking and had achieved a brightness of mind through his efforts. But then he looked for his friends from his past, and he saw that these friends that he had practiced with, who had practiced all the way till their death because they wouldn't eat, even though he had gotten alms food, they wouldn't eat that alms food, and it was pure, but they wouldn't accept that food, and so they all died. And now one of those friends, Venerable Bahiya, was deceiving society. So that Brahma god went to talk to Venerable Bahiya and told him that you haven't achieved any noble qualities. You're deceiving the population. And Venerable Bahiya felt quite dispassioned. He felt like, oh, what I'm doing is wrong. I don't have attainment. I'm deceiving people and receiving gifts and food from them. So he was dispassioned. And he asked his Brahma friend, oh, what should I do in order to attain then? And the Brahma friend said, well, the Buddha has arisen in the world already. Go listen to the Dhamma from him. So Venerable Bahiya accepted this and was very happy that he could meet with the Buddha to give rise to true wisdom. And so he went to seek out the Buddha in the area of Sawati. And during when Venerable Bahiya met the Buddha was on alms round. And so Venerable Bahiya requested the Dhamma. But the Buddha said, I'm on alms round right now. Now is not the time for giving Dhamma. But Venerable Bahiya didn't accept this, and he requested the Dhamma 3 times. So out of loving kindness, the Buddha gave a Dhamma teaching to contemplate that all Dhammas are just as they are. When there's knowing, it's just knowing. Seeing is just hearing, or seeing is just seeing. Hearing is just hearing, sensing is just sensing. And so based on his past aspiration, based on his past merit, the aspiration to become the disciple foremost in quick knowledge, having met the Buddha, and the Buddha gave the Dhamma, Venerable Bahiya did indeed understand the fastest. He understood and realized arahantship right there. For knowledge arose, the mind became empty. And so the Buddha taught, and his mind became bright. He was able to know and see quickly. So having realized arahantship, Venerable Bahiya asked for ordination, but the Buddha didn't give him ordination, because he saw that he had this karma from killing the Pacheka Buddha and taking his robe, that he was not able to have a robe because it was this heavy karma. So he wasn't able to get a robe. So the Buddha instructed him to go seek out a robe. And if he couldn't get robes, then he could ordain. And so after this, Venerable Bahiya went to seek out a robe. And then a cow came and gored him and killed him. So the Buddha, having known that this happened, instructed his other disciples to set up a cremation pyre and cremate the body of Venerable Bahiya, who had succeeded in realizing his aspiration to become the disciple foremost in quick attainment. And so we see that this is what's written in the text. This is about karma, about the cycle of birth and death. And it's the story about how he got killed by the cow. It's a story about how attachment, things that are close to us, get carried over through the cycle of birth and death. Because this cow that killed Venerable Bahia was in a past life where there was an incident, a karma he had made in a past life that led to a yaka, or ogre, a female ogre, to possess the cow, to make the cow go crazy, to then gore Venerable Bahia and kill him. So this is the karma. She had a karma with Venerable Bahia. Because we see that this yaka, or yakini, who possessed the cow, in a previous life, she was a female courtesan named Sobini. And Venerable Bahia and his five friends deceived her and killed her in the forest in order to take her wealth. And so before she died, she gave rise to a mind state of ill will, of anger, thinking, well, I didn't do anything wrong, and these people kill me. So she determined to follow them, to hurt them, to get revenge. And so we see that this is an important point to take a look at, this quality of ill will, that when anger arises, we need to make effort to dispel it quickly so that we don't fall into wrong action. Because any wrong action you do, once it's done, it's done. You can't fix it. And then what happens after that follows the law of karma. It goes according to the law of karma. So for Venerable Bahia, it's the same. This woman, Subini, reborn as a yakini, or female ogre, possessed the cow, and out of anger, having seen him, remembered him. Or it's possible she didn't remember exactly what he did or who he was, but because of the force of this karma, she gave rise to a mind state of anger or ill will, or didn't like him and wanted to kill him, and so the cow killed him. So we see that this is a story from the time of the Buddha that's passed down in the texts, and it's possible that it's true. It's possible that the author really could know this or remember this and write it down. So if you're interested in it, you can study it yourself. You can look on the internet for the story of Venerable Bahia. It's an interesting story, and we can see that it's about karma, that he was born to meet with a Buddha in the past. We can see for all of us, we contemplate this law of karma, that it's possible we've met a Buddha in the past, or could have met many Buddhas, and sometimes we had perhaps had faith and virtue, but then a lot of time passes by and these good qualities degrade and the mind isn't as firm as it was before. So we see that now of the Buddha Gotama, you've been born during this dispensation. So may you have effort and perseverance. You may not have met the Buddha Gotama, but you've met with his teaching. You've met with an enlightened disciple or great master, Kruba Ajahn, who has noble qualities and his loving kindness. So may you practice to follow the teachings of the Buddha. Don't throw away this opportunity, but keep applying your mind, keep applying effort and perseverance. So we have this opportunity to go on retreat, seeking a way to build up the strength of mind, to cultivate the mind, to give rise to strength and energy of mind. So may you have diligence in this, to give rise to the fruits of practice, at the least to give rise to samadhi, to peace and collectedness. And these qualities can be hard to realize. But we cultivate this peace and collectedness, and then this leads us to knowing and seeing the Dhamma according to the teachings of the Buddha, according to the teachings of the great masters. So don't miss out on this opportunity. You've been born, you're able to meet with a great master, an enlightened master, and this is a good opportunity, a great opportunity. You've met with the Buddha Sasana, and you live in, or living in Asia, it's living in the best environment. It's not agitated, it's not chaotic, but there's a feeling of warmness, warmth in the heart here, that life is safe. Because there's no war, no overt war here, one feels safe. It's not like in some places where people go to sleep not knowing if a bomb will fall on their house. So in Asia, like Thailand, Singapore, Malaysia, Japan, and so on, one can feel very safe. One can sleep at peace, feeling safe. I have this warm-hearted feeling. So you're in a good place, and you can do what you wish. Not breaking the law, not hurting others. But having received the invitation from the great teacher out of love and kindness, I came to speak some Dhamma with you all, and that should be enough for now. So, Ewang.